Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So this is live call-in radio. It's the Investor Resources show. You want to talk about the market and something in your portfolio or a hot tip that you were given by a friend or friendly local advisor. We probably have an opinion. You can give us a call. The magic number for access to the board is 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And we'll be glad to talk to you. And you can talk to the Puget Sound listening audience. Be a radio star.
There you go.
Yeah, there's an opportunity. If you missed the webinar this morning, which was filled with all sorts of, I started to say, clarifying information. We tried to clarify things. There was lots of information. The issue is the market isn't very clear about what on earth it is going to do at the present time. Certainly, we are not in the standard bull market trend where just buy the dip and it's going to make you money. That has turned into a myth. And a lot of people following that myth in the last decade found out that it is not a reliable investment process over this past year. And right now, it looks like it may continue to be a disappointing process because it's a poor process. But in any event, you want to talk to us this morning. We have a little under an hour here at 800-465-8770. If you missed the webinar and you want to get a copy of the replay link, which we will have out probably this weekend, Monday at the latest, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Just put replay in the subject line, and we'd like your first and last name in the body of the email so that our compliance record keeping will be kept up to date. But one of the biggest issue for the market today is whether or not President Nixon's whip inflation now button. If the win button can be brought back and resurrected, if you have one. Yeah, I mean, it looked cool to be wearing one around right now because we'd like to see inflation under control, especially if you happen to be a member of the Federal Reserve. It would, I'm sure it would make their nights a lot less sleepless.
I would love to see that. Yes, indeed.
So the problem with the Fed having a mandate for stable prices is that they're not responsible for all the spending that creates the inflation. The problem that we're facing today is because there was too much money chasing too few goods with the COVID lockdown, which we now know from almost 3 years of data collection was an absolute terrible economic and policy error.
Bad idea all around. Yeah,
it made absolutely no difference in terms of deaths, infections, and it destroyed the global economy. It was some people call this a conspiracy theory, but it was an effort to see if the elite could actually control the economy and the population. First, the population, and thereby dictate what happens in the economy. And they had some small minor test that led to these massive lockdowns. And as we now know, they really messed up. So here we are with inflation caused by too much money. Where'd that come from? That came from stimulus programs. And we relabeled
lots of them. Lots of money.
They quit calling them stimulus, but they just issued more money and doled it out, a lot of it without a lot of restrictions on how or where it was going to be spent. So you still have more money chasing not enough goods. Prices go up. Prices go up, and people want a wage increase. Well, that raises costs. Profits go down. And the Fed is supposed to maintain stable prices when they did not cause the inflation.
They did not. You know, that was this morning, Don, that was one of the questions we got from an attendee on our webinar was, you know, how can we expect the Fed to bring down inflation if the government keeps borrowing and spending more and more money? And you know, we pointed out that, and you pointed out before in the show, Don, here, that the government has been working against the Fed here, even if not intentionally. All of their actions and activities increase the rate of inflation, or at least support it, and the Fed's trying to bring it down. So they're not on the same page at all here, and it's going to be impossible for the Fed to get the kind of response they want, especially in the time frame they want, which is sooner than later, if the government keeps spending so rampantly.
Well, and the question is, are they spending on things that are actually productive? I mean, there is some spending which is referred to as entitlement spending. It's because laws have been passed that said we are going to spend money on these activities,
right,
ad infinitum. And so Social Security, Medicare, they are classified as entitlements because they don't come up for a new vote in every congressional session.
And you really can't touch those or even talk about them without it being political suicide. So that stuff's really not going to be off the table no matter what's going on.
I had to shut my printer down. That thing gets noisy. That's right. And so we're going to have another debate. I mean, Medicare and Social Security are not going away. Social Security is
correct,
not going away. Anybody, any politician who says that's going to happen is fear-mongering. It is a long-term contract. Now, does it need to be revamped so that the benefits of Social Security survive for younger generations? And the answer is yes. Are people on Social Security going to get their checks cut? No. When will that be resolved? At the very last minute.
Absolutely true.
Congress is not known for its planning.
No, they're not going to do anything until it's completely on fire, and then they'll come in at the last second and do something, because it's just so dangerous politically to do anything with Social Security, and it's going to have to be done. They know it's going to have to be done, but like you said, Don, they're going to wait to the last minute until they absolutely have to do something, because they're not going to volunteer.
So with regard to the Fed, their basic tool is to raise interest rates, make things more expensive to buy on credit so that you quit buying them.
Right.
Everybody has a pain point when it comes to borrowing money. In the current housing market, that pain point is somewhere between 6 and 7%. And a lot of people say, I just don't think I will or can afford to buy a house and pay that much interest. So I won't, and I'll continue to rent.
Right.
Well, that leaves more people in the rental market, and the cost of rent, which is both actual rents that people are paying and the equivalent rent of renting the house for the people who own it, whether or not it has a mortgage, that rent equivalent factor is the major component of inflation right now, and it is not dropping quickly. A lot of other things are. I mean, I've complained about buying eggs at 10 bucks a couple of months or two ago.
That does rub you the wrong way, doesn't it? It should. Yeah, you're right.
That was for a dozen. I mean, it's almost a buck an egg. Well, I bought 18 eggs last night for just over $7. So prices are coming down.
Yeah. There we go.
There is disinflation that is happening. It's just not happening with the major component that the Fed is looking at for inflation, the rental equivalent factor. I mean, it's roughly a third of what goes into the CPI and the Consumer Price Expenditure Index, which excludes food and energy. It will come down, but it's going to take some time. My guess is, and it's just a guess, that we will see this moderate over the next year and two. The risk that we have in terms of the market is that the Fed is looking at this number and not the other numbers that are coming down and saying, we have to get more aggressive, or at least we have to keep rates up higher longer than the market was expecting. Market was expecting the Fed to change its policy and become more friendly, called dovish, friendlier towards the markets sometime this year. No longer. The view now is...
Doesn't look likely at this point, right?
We're going to keep rates high well into the start of next year. And that is a discouraging factor for the stock market. You want to talk to us today, you've got questions. We have an open phone line. It's 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. We're looking at high interest rates. And people now have a choice. Instead of zero for savings, they can get as much as 5%. We should talk about that when we come back from the break.
That is a truly significant change and a very welcome one, especially for savers that have been punished for the last decade. But we are up against our first break of the morning. I'd like to remind everyone that we did have March webinar this morning. And if you'd like to register for our April webinar, you can do that by going to iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and give the registration link a click. Oh, now that I think of it, Don, I don't have the April registration link up there. So just after the show, you can give that registration link a click and you'll get an email back. There'll be a link in there and you can give that a click. You'll be live online with us. You can finally see the charts that we talk about so often. You'll get some information on what's going on out there in the economy, what's going on with the markets, what we're doing with client portfolios. And we always keep plenty of time reserved to answer questions from everyone who signs in. And we always get a lot of good questions. It's a really good time to get a second opinion on anything that's in your portfolio, or if you have specific questions about the market, great time to get a little update for yourself, get some clarity out there. Again, you can register for that by going to iriradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us this morning, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. That number is 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Take it higher. Take it higher. That was the rally cry on Friday as the S&P and the NASDAQ major indices moved higher off of some really important lows. And we had graphs, charts of that on today's webinar. If you missed that and want a replay link, send us an email, help@iriradio.com, and put replay in the subject line. Give us your first and last name in the body of the email. And when we get the dead air time at the beginning of the recording edited out, we'll get that link out sometime this weekend and no later than Monday. You're listening to the Investor Resources live radio call-in program. The board op says they're having some trouble with the phones, but you can give us a try at, there it is. You can text us, apparently, at this same number, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. And they'll read the question to us, and we'll be glad to respond to that. The subject is stock market, bond market, interest rates, inflation, and related stuff. We don't talk about cars or
not with any authority anyway. Yeah. We may talk about them, but I may not. Yeah. They want to just pass on that. So.
Yeah, generally it's just a complaint.
There you go.
And anyway, we've been speaking about the Fed and raising interest rates, trying to whip inflation now. And it just reminds me of Nixon. I mean, he couldn't do it either. It took Paul Volcker at the Fed, but we had a different cause back in the 70s. It wasn't due to the Fed, due to the federal government deciding that they had so much money that they just needed to pass it out to anybody who was standing around.
Nice.
Now, we had real shortages because we had a baby boomer population that was coming into its economic growth period. It's beginning to go to work, coming out of colleges. And all of a sudden, there weren't enough houses. There wasn't enough of anything from the time the baby boomers started hitting kindergarten. We didn't have enough elementary schools. We didn't have enough middle schools. We didn't have enough high schools. We didn't have enough colleges. We didn't have enough cars. There was nothing that was in plentiful supply to meet this massive advance.
It really changed everything, right? Everything through the economy got changed by that. The change was so massive.
And inflation became a problem. And it wasn't until Paul Volcker said, we're going to put an end to this borrowing activity. And he did with raising rates. He raised them, he lowered them, and inflation resurrected. He had to raise them again. And it took about 6 years for inflation to actually begin a long-term downtrend, which was referred to as a disinflationary period. We have some disinflation going on right now. It's modest. But the problem is there's still too much money in the system because our Congress, if you hadn't noticed, is fairly profligate. I mean, they just love to spend money.
They don't even try to hide it anymore. No, they just tell you how much they're going to spend.
They don't care where it's going to come from. They assume they can borrow money ad infinitum because the world loves the U.S. dollar, and that is true. And for the present time, they can continue to borrow money largely internationally because other economies are in such dire straits, though there is hope in Europe. But the central bankers around the world, Europe, primarily in Europe, but they're a lot more aggressive than the Fed is, trying to stop inflation in their countries. And the Fed is just simply not doing enough to really unwind this because they don't want to be blamed for causing a recession. But frankly, I don't think they can avoid that. They're going to get
right.
The blame.
Congress, no matter what. I think they're at this point, they're just trying to shoot for the mildest recession they can pull together, or even better, a rolling recession where the entire economy doesn't go under all at once. It just goes rolls through in sectors. That's kind of what they're hoping for. But it's inflation really has taken hold. It really is out there. And like you said, Don, it is coming down, but it's not coming down in enough places fast enough to give the Fed any kind of meaningful relief, because that top line inflation number is going to stay elevated longer than they would like, and they're going to have to continue to take action, which they've said. So here we go.
So Mr. Powell has warned everybody this is going to be painful because it's going to take longer than anybody wants in order to solve the problem, because they're fighting Congress and the administration. Congress and the administration want to spend more money, which is the cause of inflation, and the Fed is trying to keep it from happening. I mean, this is a tough, tough battle. But in the result of this is that interest rates are much higher. And while many of us have complained for years that saving money makes no sense because you get zero on your savings account.
Right. Yep.
And that really hurt investors and savers, retirees. It hurt the annuity payouts, the pension payouts. All these things have been damaged because of this zero interest rate policy that the Fed adopted after the housing crisis back in 08 and 09. So now they're trying to make up for it, and this is the pendulum problem.
Yeah,
it swings too far to the left. It swings back too far to the right. It's trying to get back to the center, and it will not stop there. It's going to go the other way. So it was not but a few months ago, investors were thinking inflation's coming down. The Fed won't want to be responsible for a recession. They will quit raising interest rates. That didn't last for very long.
Yeah. It really didn't. The Fed came out quite aggressively saying, not true. We are laser focused on inflation and nothing else, meaning we don't care if there's a recession, and we're going to keep raising rates until we can see for sure that we're going to get back to the 2% rate of inflation, which, you know, turns out is a fairly random number in and of itself. But that's the Fed target regardless. And they're not going to, it appears right now, they are not going to flinch until we are within sight of that 2% range.
And that's several years away. So what are they going to do in the meantime?
Yep.
You know, if we go back to December, most of the Fed presidents were in agreement that they were beginning to get a handle on this stuff. This last week, there's an increasing number of regional Fed presidents who are coming out and saying, well, they're not saying we thought inflation was transitory and we were wrong. They're not saying that, but that's the result of their current statements, which is interest rates need to stay high for longer than we expected. Higher interest rates are not going to be very transitory. And now we have several regional presidents who are saying 4.75 is not high enough. 5.25, 5.5, it looks like we may have to do that much before inflation turns itself down. What does that mean for you as an investor? Well, that means your bond portfolio is going to continue the bear market of last year. The little rally it's had recently in yields has actually continued to hurt bonds. I mean, yields were falling for a brief period of time, but now they're rising again, and rising bond rates are depress bond values. It's a teeter-totter. Just keep that in mind. Rates on one end, value on the other. Rates go up, the value of your bond goes down. If you don't need to liquidate it, no big deal. You hold bond to maturity, and you're going to get what you paid for. You go out and buy a new bond now, at, let's just call it 5%, and you hold that for 20 to 30 years, and you're going to get your 5%. And you can get a 20-year bond. Let's see. You can. I mean, the 10-year bond is over 4. So a 20-year bond is going to be, should be a little higher. I go back and look at the rates over the week, over the break. Rates are really messed up right now, frankly. They're called inverted. The two-year is even higher. In fact, in our portfolios, we own some short-term treasury money because depending upon the month that you calculate it, it's pays between 4 and 5%. Then there's short-term treasuries. That is considered no-risk money being guaranteed by one of the major bankrupt entities in the world, but it is still the guarantee of the U.S. government that your treasury money is good, which is why your Social Security money and your Medicare money, they'll figure out how to solve those problems. But now you can go out and get 5% on a six-month treasury bill, free of state and local taxes if you buy the bill itself. If you buy that through a mutual fund or ETF, you have some other pricing factors that are due to the market demand of those particular entities. But the real question is, what's going to happen to stock prices if interest rates continue to rise? The risk-free rate continues to go up. How does the stock market react to that? You have an easy explanation, Perry?
Well, it's complicated.
I'm passing the baton to you. I mean, I raised the question.
There you go. But when those rates increase, you know, the ultra low rates have been driving people into the market. You had to go get some return somewhere, so you had to go buy some, you know, higher yield debt, or you have to go get some high dividend paying stocks. But you had to get your money out of fixed income, and you had to get into the market, and that drove a lot of money into the market. And right now that we can, you know, get those shorter term treasuries in the 4% range, and even longer term up into 4%. I think the last time I looked at the 20, Don, it was just over 4%. All of a sudden, that is well in the range of a lot of people who are saying, okay, I will take the risk-free 4% rather than put anything at risk in the market, because the market is almost completely unpredictable at this point, a little radical right now going on. So that pulls money out of the market. And anytime that happens, of course, as we always say in an auction market, if the money begins to dry up, the market's going to shrink. And that's going to continue until things change. And that change has just really come up. We hadn't owned bonds in years. And now we have some in all of our portfolios, because you can put a piece over there, get a decent return. In our case, it's just to avoid a shorter term market volatility, but we wouldn't have done that before. We would have just stayed in cash, but now we can get that return in bonds. And it's important to note that it's there and the money's moving that way. And that takes money away from the stock market. And that means prices decline. And that's outside of just regular market action, which is scaring a lot of people away just because of the unpredictability of what's going on in the markets today. The volatility is giving a large number of investors pause for staying in. And, the buy and hold and forget about it gets harder and harder when you have a couple of good days, but that was preceded by a bad 2 weeks. And so that's kind of where we are right now.
So I just looked up the rates. And so the 2-year treasury is just under 5%.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
And the 10 is just a shade under 4. So anyway, it's time for our break.
We need to get out of here at the bottom of the hour. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next market update on the web. Our links are had been all updated at the last break. So our next webinar is Saturday, April 1st, 8:30 a.m. You can register for that by going to IRIRadio.com. We also have a weekly email newsletter, The Week in Review. If you'd like to begin receiving that, send us an email. Send that to help@IRIRadio.com. That is help@IRIRadio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and then we need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. It's a pretty good look at what's gone on this week in the wide world of finance, and we give you a good idea about what's important and what you can probably safely ignore. Again, if you'd like to talk to us this morning, give us a call, 800-465-8770, or more appropriately, send us a text at 800-465-8770. We will still get you on the air. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Investors are ignoring inflation and the changing economy. I'm Perry Sykes, and along with Don Creech, we host Investor Resources. Investors ignore warnings that lack immediate consequences. It's like running red lights without an accident. Soon, you think you're good at running red lights, but eventually your luck runs out. Unfortunately, by the time most investors figure it out, it's generally far too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@IRIRadio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. That's 800-317-9119. Register for our monthly stock market update at IRIRadio.com. Be prepared. Again, register for our monthly stock market update at IRIRadio.com.
You're listening to the Investor Resources live radio program. Phone lines are having some trouble, but the text will still work. Send a text with your question to 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. So I mentioned in today's webinar that Friday, we had a lot of buy-the-dipper activity, actually Thursday and Friday, a lot of buy-the-dipper activity coming in. The market bounced off of critical technical support levels. The real question is, we've got critical support at a rising trend line here from the October lows, which is and right along with the 200 moving average, which was tested. Brought investors in. They said, this stuff is really cheap. Let's stay here. And we ran prices up. The question is, what happens next week? Will that hold? Will the buyers continue to come in? Or will it fail and put the bears back in charge of the market, at least in the near term, anticipating that the Fed's going to continue raising interest rates? we have to wait and find out because there's no crystal ball that tells us exactly what's going to happen. The real question is, will these higher rates continue to derail the stock market and last year's bear market extend for another couple of quarters as corporate earnings come in at lower levels? Now, if you
that may be a bigger key. That may be bigger than even interest rates. We've seen periods historically where the stock market has increased during times of rising rates. That's not necessarily something that can't happen. But if profits are and earnings are falling, that's something that's tough to get over. When it looks like it's going to be here to stay for a little while, it's hard to say, I want to pay you more for that company, even though it's earning less. And that can be a bigger factor going forward, even than the interest rate direction. But that doesn't help anything either, because that slows the economy down, which decreases earnings, and we get into that cycle.
If you own individual stocks, you probably pay attention to the earnings estimates and the announcements from the CEO about their outlook for the business.
Sure. Yeah.
You have to understand that the analysts get access to the board officers before they make announcements. And they come in and they say, what's going on? What do you think is actually happening? What's your forecast here? I mean, this is, at this point, it's off the record. But it is going to influence the analyst projection of what's going to happen. So if the CEO says, you know, we're going to survive, we're going to make some money, but it's not going to be as much as we thought. So the analyst is going to look at last quarter's projection and he's going to lower it. Now, once they lower the projection for earnings quarter over quarter, and they've done that now for five quarters, if when the announcement is made and they miss that reduced estimate, you better sell your stock because there's more bad news coming. That's just a rule of thumb that people who are on the news, television, and radio program, they don't talk about that. It's kind of like, well, we had a buy on this, and now we think you should just hold it. You know, that means sell this turkey because our bad news is coming. Yeah, but they can't say sell it because they will be fired as the broker of record for all the new issues that the company wants to use to raise money.
And you know, Don, your illustration right there is just a perfect illustration of, you know, the old adage that by the time you see something in the financial news, it's already too late to act on it. It's already in the system. That's already occurred. That's something you need to think about all the time. It's not like, oh, look at that. Nobody else knows this. I should go do something. By the time it's online, by the time it's on cable TV, all of the inside players already know that news. They already have that news in hand. And so it can get very dangerous to make a change in your portfolio based on what is essentially old news, even though it may be the headline today. Everyone inside already had that information, and it's important to keep that in mind.
Headline investing is deadline investing.
I mean, it's not good.
It's going to run you into trouble. The major players, the dark pools, as they're referred to, they can't step into the market and buy or sell the volume of shares that they want to either own or dump. So they have to have advance notice. If they want to sell, they start selling a year before the public is going to know what the news is.
Now that's advanced. Yeah.
Yeah, that is advanced because it's going to take them time. It will take them often several quarters of trading because they don't want to move the price. So they have to be very careful about either entering or distributing, getting rid of shares. So by the time the headline comes out, the major buyers, they've already adapted their portfolio. But as for retail investors and most financial advisors looking at the headlines, the headline that's driving stuff today is interest rates. With the two-year rate now virtually just under 5%, and investors have basically licking their wounds from a year-long bear market of rising rates and falling bond values, and their safety cushion that they've counted on and advisors have counted on, because we've been trained that bonds are the way you control risk. Well, that worked as long as interest rates don't rise significantly, but they did last year, and they're not done. So that safety factor is causing great angst among both investors and generally advisors. Now, if you've listened to us for any length of time, you know that I do coaching with advisors around the country. And I spoke with one of my subscribers this last week who had just returned from a conference. And he said virtually everybody there is in a 60-40 portfolio. And they're just, and their story is not any different than it was 2 years ago. Just buy and hold. It'll all work out in the end. Go home and go to sleep and quit calling me because things aren't going to change.
Today doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter.
And as he said, I can't tell people that because this is a different market. This isn't your grandfather's stock market. It's kind of like the old Buick ad. This isn't your father's Buick. It sure looked like it, but the story had changed. But here we are with the Fed that says interest rates are still going to have to be higher, and they're going to have to be higher for longer. And what do you do about that? Well, you have to change the way you look at your account, or you go to sleep and pretend in another 10 years it won't matter. It'll be okay. It does mean that there are going to be some good buys, some good entry points, and there are some sectors that are doing okay and showing signs of strength. It's not the whole market. Now, with regard to the rally that occurred this weekend, or this Thursday and Friday, that market index is driven by a half a dozen or so stocks. All you need is a good day in Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Nvidia, Tesla. A couple of those stocks have a good day, and the index is going to look great. But what I showed on the webinar is that with that good day on Friday, the massive number of large block trades that were selling into it, taking money off the table. They talk about that on the news at night? No, we don't want to talk about the smart money leaving the game. They're becoming somewhat more defensive because the health of the market is not represented by a good day on the stock index. You have to have a little more data. Market's dynamic. It is not a constant. And over decades, it tends to go up. But there are decades where it does not. And what are you going to do during those decades?
You really do need to be ready to do something else, to adapt to what's going on, and to, you know, that's why we track trends. You have to track the trend. A day or two in one direction or the other is really meaningless. That's what we always refer to as just market noise, because the market is quite volatile right now. It's going to be looking great. You know, it could be looking great on Monday and Tuesday and terrible on Thursday and Friday. So you don't make decisions based on that. You got to step back a little bit, get a little broader view. Look at the trends, see if there's anything in place, follow the money, and that's what we try to do best we can. And it gives you a little more opportunity when you're adapting, like I said earlier, Don, to move into the strength of the market, and more importantly, maybe move away from the weak parts of the market, and that's how you can get hurt less. That's really how you can reduce the amount of risk that's in your portfolio, rather than buying a bunch of everything and just hanging on to it and pretending that that's risk management. It's really not.
Let's go ahead and take our last break. We're running out of time here. If you want to talk to us, the phone, I guess, is still down, but text line works, 800-465-8770. And I don't know who's on the board today, but they will read the text to us and we'll deal with it.
It's somebody who will definitely get us the information. So if you do have a question, then that text will that'll work out for you. 800-465-8770. If you'd like to get signed up for our next monthly market update, that would be April 1st, Saturday, 8:30 a.m. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Just click that registration link, and you'll be ready to go on April 1st. If you would like to talk to us this morning, again, send that text to 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Or email your question to help at IRIradio.com. That's help at IRIradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Well, we ask that question at the end of every day. Maybe we ask it in the morning. But overnight, right, we're thinking about should we stay or should we go? I didn't mean to step on you when we were going out to the, okay. But it's the first Saturday, so that's what we're going to do. So you can go to IRIradio.com to register for that. If you want a replay of today's webinar, if you're registered for it, you're going to get one automatically. But if you didn't register, you weren't unaware that we were doing one, send us an email, help@IRIradio.com, and we will be, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the link. So the question that just came in is, what happens to bonds in a war? Well, you know, I think that depends upon what the government decides to do, because in World War II, rates didn't rise. The government had to borrow a ton of money, and people, because it was World War and we were fighting, people were willing to lend money at any rate, and it was a controlled rate, so that we could finance our way and win the war. What happens if we end up in a war that gets expanded because of Ukraine? Right now, that looks like that's going to be higher rates. Because risk of failure and repayment seems to increase. So my assumption would be we would see a continuation of rising rates, which would damage bond values. But if your treasuries and the government survives, then when they mature, you will get your money back. You just have to wait for whatever the maturity, whether you buy a short or long term.
Yep.
Or the government may say, we're going to control rates. We're just simply not going to issue them at that. I think the market today is much more dynamic than it was back in the 40s and 50s. And we would see global pressure that if the government said, we're not going to pay that much, they'd be forced to, or they couldn't borrow any money. They'd be forced to adapt to the market.
Which people is didn't kind used of to have that happening. Option. Yeah, exactly. And now you can. Kind of you can do it.
Yeah, so the Fed, in some ways, is adapting to the rest of the world rather than dictating what's going to happen. As we pointed out and illustrated in the webinar today, that other central banks are being much more aggressive than the Fed is to control inflation in their own countries. The Fed is behind the curve, which is a reason to suspect that they will have to continue raising interest rates if they're going to win the inflation battle with Congress. They're going to have to make it so painful for Congress to deal with interest payments that Congress is going to say, we have to do something, and we can't keep doing what we're doing.
That just sounds funny when you say it, Don. The Fed's battling Congress. It's like you would figure everyone associated with the government would be on the same page, working toward the same goal. Doesn't seem to be exactly correct right now. Ugh.
So when we look at the market, there are a lot of people who thought that they were smart because they were making money in 2020 as the market was rallying over all the stimulus money. And there were some very big bets made and some very big money made. Some traders announced on various chat systems, Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Snapchat, that they had made enough money they were going to retire at 23 or 25, whatever it happened to be.
Right.
And then last year happened. And they didn't have an answer to should I stay or should I go. They thought they should just stay because they were smart traders. The myth among traders, especially inexperienced ones, is that all you need to do for success is find a style of trading that fits your personality and stick to that with discipline and consistency. Well, those last two are issues. Typically, there is no discipline and there is no consistency and there is no stop-loss rule that is adhered to. And that's a major problem. One thing you cannot do is you cannot know how high the price is going to go on any investment or any index. Nobody knows how high is. The only thing you can do is limit your losses. When you make a decision and it turns out to be a bad decision, not because you didn't do your research, but because factors in the market disagree with you and they are bigger than you are. And what you bought after all the research and the time you spent debating, should I do this or not? Now, it's a good company. After all, I or my spouse spend a lot of money with that company. It's got to be okay. I want some of my money back.
You know, it's just like going to Vegas with a plan. I've got a strategy I'm going to use when I get to Las Vegas. And this time I'm going to make a ton of money. And you stick to your plan and you keep doing the same thing. And the house takes all your money again because you wouldn't adapt to what was going on. And you wouldn't just stop if things weren't working. That's the main thing. Like you said, how much are you going to lose? You have to have that point where you say, nope, I'm not losing any more money. But just like somebody who's going to double down to catch up in Vegas, people do the same thing in investing, and it's always a mistake. It's always a mistake. You can't do that. You have to have that pain point where you say, okay, I'm not going to play this game anymore. It's not working right now. And step back. And that's what you have to be able to do in the markets, just the same way you should be able to do it in Vegas. At least Wall Street's not going to serve you free drinks. So you may be able to have a little more clarity in your thought process, but you have to have the same stop loss discipline saying, okay, that's it. I'm out and walk away before you're completely broke.
So we've been speaking today about the Fed and interest rates. And basically, in today's environment, you can't read or watch financial news without a heavy dose of speculation about what the Fed is going to do with the short-term rates, when it's going to do it, and how long it's going to do it for. I mean, that's a major debate that's going on. And there's nothing wrong with paying attention to this news, but you have to realize this is not your father's or your mother's monetary policy. You need to focus on what's happening today. One of the major factors that's important is the money supply. There is an argument that as the Fed gets rid of its bonds that it bought to bail us out of the COVID mess, that they're shrinking the supply of money, and that is going to result in more speculation about stock prices, and it's going to drive them higher. Prior to the crisis, the great financial crisis, 08 and 09, the Fed had a policy of either buying treasuries from banks to add money, giving them cash. They didn't get it from Congress. They just make it up. It's a digital entry. They create money themselves. And the alternative was that they would sell treasury securities to take money out of the system. So add reserves, loosens policy, draining reserves, tighten policies. Well, banks actively trade reserves between themselves to meet their financial stability needs based on how much money they have out on loans and what they have for deposits. So this is probably a major variable going forward that is going to have an impact on the market and should not be ignored. We don't know what the Fed's going to do other than once they have their meetings and a month later they release the minutes, everybody who's interested goes through the minutes and says, well, I think this is what that means. It was almost easier when Greenspan was the Fed president because he was known for green speak. Just exactly what did that mean when he said that? And the rest of the regional Fed presidents, he didn't let them speak. So we didn't have opposing opinions coming out of the Fed.
You only had one voice. And now the Fed says, you know, we're data dependent. So the Fed is telling us, and we don't know what we're going to do either. We're going to wait, look at the data, and then make a decision. So the Fed is just as undecided as we are. It's going to be dependent upon what numbers come out. And then, of course, what does the Fed think about those numbers? And that's the part that we have no idea where that's going.
So the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are tech heavy. I mean, the S&P wasn't keeping up with the NASDAQ, so they changed the components. So in the last segment, I mentioned half a dozen companies that if those companies have a good day or a bad day, the two indices have a good day and a bad day. It doesn't mean the rest of the market's any good at all. In fact, I think on Thursday we had an up day and it was driven by seven stocks and it was eight stocks on the S&P 500 because 492 stocks went nowhere. But the index was up and that created a sense of optimism. Things are turning around. We're less certain about that for reasons that we explained in today's webinar. And if you want a copy of that replay link, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. help@iriradio.com. Put replay in the subject line. Give us your first and last name in the body of the email. You can also request our week in review by following the same process. Put week in review in the subject line, first and last name in the body of the email, and we'll be glad to put you in that distribution system for most Mondays when it goes out. Monday's a holiday. It's delayed a week, or not a week, but a day. Anyway, we're up at the end of the show. You want to talk to us during the week? Our phone number at the office is 800-317-9119. That's 800-317-9119. Send us an email, help@iriradio.com. God bless you, your family, and the United States of America. Have a great weekend.